Good morning. Well, it's great to see each and every one of you. How are you today? Hallelujah. I appreciate your prayers. Appreciate Sister Mary filling in for us last week. We all go through trials and tribulations, but aren't you glad that Jesus is on the throne? Amen. Hallelujah. Good to see you, Sister Debbie. Good to see you, Mr. Green. Hallelujah. See you, everybody. Glad to see everybody. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Colossians chapter 4. We're preaching our way through this epistle, and this is our 12th session in this. We're going to look at verses 2, 3, and 4 today and pull out 3 points I believe the Apostle Paul would have us to apply in our heart today. We'll be talking about, out of these three verses, prayer, thanksgiving, and preaching. Because you and I, we need to see how important prayer is. If you're going through some things in your life and you feel disconnected, then you need to come back and to evaluate your prayer life, because prayer connects you and I to God, but prayer connects you and I together through God. So if you're feeling disconnected in any way, ask the Holy Spirit, say, show me the truth in this. See, that's prayer. Prayer is simply communication, because the devil wants to always try to isolate you and I. He wants to divide and conquer. But you and I, when we believed in the heart and confessed with the mouth Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He grabbed you and baptized you into His very own body. Amen. You can't be isolated. You can't be separated. Come on, you're part of the family of God, because you're part of the body of Christ. Christ said that His body was the church, and He's the head of the church. Aren't you glad? Amen. So we're going to look at that prayer. And then the thanksgiving part is so important. It determines everything about what you're seeing. See, if I'm not thankful, I don't know about you, it shows me that I'm looking at the wrong thing. And so thanksgiving is so important for us to have a positive outlook and to have a hope that ministers the faith that God has dealt to every person to bring the promises of God into this earth age, into this moment of time. We need it, don't we? And then finally, that's what enables us to preach. Every one of us are preachers. Amen. We're called to just share the gospel. And that's what a preacher is. But anyway, Colossians chapter 2. Let's start reading in there. We've made it down to verse 2. So let's read verses 2, 3, and 4. If you're there, say amen. The word of God says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3. Wherewith praying also for us, that God would open unto us the door of utterance to speak the mystery, oh glory, the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. And finally, verse number 4, why do we want to pray this prayer like this with thanksgiving? That I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. In other words, my words will paint a picture of who Jesus Christ, your words will paint a picture of who Jesus Christ really and truly is. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, as we stand before you, our hearts are open. We're hungry for you. We're humbled by your presence. We're so thankful to be saved, to be blood washed, to be born again. We're thankful that you took the wrath, Lord Jesus, that was destined to be ours, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But now we've been washed white. We are the righteousness of God through Christ Jesus. And we thank you for it, Father. We ask you this morning that you'd touch each one of us. Give us eyes to see. Give us ears to hear. Give us a wise and understanding heart to operate in and from in the power of the Word of God. We'll be quick to praise you for it. Let each one of us see and hear from Jesus by the Holy Spirit and not see anything of man. We praise you for it. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, and we all say, amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Once again, thank you for being here. You are so important to the body of Christ. Don't let that be a misnomer. Don't ever underestimate what God's called you to do. Amen. Because every one of you've got that great ministry that reveals Jesus like nobody else. But I want you to look at this first part here in verse number 2. The Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, said that you and I, we have to continue in prayer. Now, this word continue is a little weak in English. In the Greek, it says that you and I have to persevere with all diligence. Have you ever noticed that when you start to pray, here comes the devil? When you start to pray, here comes trouble. Here comes distractions. I don't know about you, but my flesh, here comes my flesh. It's trying to talk to me and distract me. And, well, I'm hot, I'm hungry, I'm tired, or I need to do this, or I need to do that. No, right now, this is my time of prayer. Amen. And I've got to continue in that. I've got to persevere in that. So the Apostle Paul says that for you and I to be what God called us to be, then we're going to have to be in that place where we recognize there's going to be a battle and a struggle, because the devil doesn't want you and I to connect with God. Of course, we're connected through the bloodline, and praise God for that. And our spirit is always in communication with the Father. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. But I need my soul, my mind, will, and emotions to be connected with God. Because when, as my soul, the Bible says in 3 John that I'm only going to prosper according to my soul. So your soul, your mind, will, and emotions has to be renewed by the Word of God. And what you know about the Word of God determines the level of how you're going to prosper, how I'm going to prosper in my relationship with God, my relationship with one another in this world. And so I need to be in that place. So he said, continue, persevere in prayer and make that connection with God. And then if I make that connection with God, I'm going to make it with everybody else. Amen. So let's look at some things of this morning, I think, that will help us. Go with me to the book of Acts chapter 10, and I want you and I to look at a situation you're very familiar with, where a man, he made a decision. He said, I'm not a Jew. In other words, he said, I don't have a covenant with God, but I want a covenant with God. You realize there's people out there in the world right now this morning, they're lost, but they want a relationship with Jesus. They just don't know how to get it. And that's why we're talking about what the Apostle Paul is bringing to the church at Colossae this morning, how you and I can be a part of that to help them focus and see that. So here we're going to look at Cornelius and his household. He doesn't have a relationship with God, but he wants to know God. And so that's the way it was with you and I. We didn't have that connection. But if you and I are willing to just open up our heart to the Lord, guess what? He's going to meet us where we're at. So it doesn't matter what the enemy's done. It doesn't matter what mistakes I might have made or you might have made. God doesn't look at those things. He looks at our heart. Amen. And you have a heart. I have a heart. And there's people out in this lost world that has a heart that wants to know God. So notice what he said, starting in verse number 30. Let's look at this connection that come by prayer, how we can see no matter where we're at, we can connect with God. Acts 10 and 30. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting unto this hour. Aren't you glad that if you and I, if we'll turn the things of the flesh off, God's going to talk to us. The only time I can hear from God is when I'm listening to my flesh. God don't talk to me through my flesh. He talks to me through my spirit. Amen. And so we need to get that in our heart. He said, 4 days ago, I was fasting unto this hour. Notice this. And at the ninth hour, the number 9 in Bible numerics means what? It means of the Holy Spirit. So all of a sudden, he prayed through. How many times have you been praying and you think, oh, my prayer isn't going anywhere? God isn't hearing me. I'm all alone. Yeah, nothing's happened. But all of a sudden, what do? We break through. And it's not that we wasn't through all the time, but we had to what? Come to that place where we got in tune with the Holy Spirit and our spirit, and we put every lie of the flesh down, every work of the enemy down. And so he said, I was in that place where I was abstaining from the flesh and I was in the spirit, so to speak. And he said, at that ninth hour, he said, I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing. Aren't you glad that you have the confidence this morning that God wants to connect with you? He wants to make himself known to you and I. These people who say, well, now God, he's just hid. He's hid. He's just hid from the world. No, he's not. That's a lie from the pit of hell. God is wanting to reveal himself to every person. He wants you and I to know him intimately. Now, the person may not want to know God. They can turn and walk away from that, and they can reject that and all those things. But God is always wanting to draw his people. Notice what it says, verse 31. And Cornelius, and here's what the message was from the Lord. And Cornelius, don't be talking to me. You don't have a covenant with me. Is that what it says? No. See, everybody, they're saying, now God don't hear the prayer of a sinner. Oh, yes, he does. There have been times God heard me. I didn't know God, but God answered my prayer even though I was a sinner, because I had to have something in my life or the devil was going to take me out. Now, when we get into a relationship with God, I understand how people can take that and misunderstand that. But God hears the prayers of people, amen? But you have a covenant with God now because you're talking to Him through the name of Jesus, amen? But the angel come and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. Aren't you glad Jesus heard you last night in the midnight hour when you were praying about some things? You were struggling with some things. You were trying to get some truth. You were trying to help somebody. He heard you. And Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. In other words, this word from the Greek, had in remembrance before the sight of God, it means that God has seen everything Cornelius has done, and it's time for payback. It's time for reward. Come on. God knows what you do. God hears your prayers. God sees your faithfulness. God sees your giving, no matter where you're at. And so your prayer life, my prayer life, makes this great connection. And when we're in this great connection, it brings the promises of God to your life and to my life. Now, look what he said. He said, verse 32, send therefore to Joppa. In other words, God always gives us instruction. He always brings a revelation to us in the Spirit. But then He always puts people in our lives that's going to help us to grow, going to help us to mature. Thank God for brothers and sisters. Amen? Come on, God puts people in your life. Think about right now. You're a product of who God put in your life and spoke a truth to you this morning. Amen? They spoke a word that brought light, that brought hope, maybe that added to your faith or released your faith. Praise God for that. So anyway, he said, I want you to send to Joppa. Joppa means beautiful and bright. Actually, it means beautiful by brightness, because anywhere the gospel is, come on, in the feet, are the ones who bring the message is beautiful. Amen. Come on, say, my feet are beautiful. And Jesus said, you have the light in you. Amen. You are the light of the world. So you understand what he's talking about here. He said, send therefore to Joppa and call hither Simon. Simon means hearing, whose surname is Peter. He's a piece of the rock. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh, he shall speak unto thee. You and I, we need to be in the place and the position that, yes, when we pray to God, God talks to us, we make this connection, but we're going to be talking about how we also, He wants us to make connection with one another. And so, God, we have this intimacy, this relationship with Him, but you and I, we need each other. Amen? We are the many-membered body of Christ. And so there's no big I's and no little U's. All of us are in that place where we're looking to Jesus Christ, and we need one another, but we need to be in that place. So can you imagine here, Peter, he's fixing to be destined by the Holy Spirit, by the Lord, to bring in a group of people who didn't have a covenant. That's your destiny. That's my destiny. Amen. Because God's looking for us to bring in the last day harvest. And we can do that. We can do that because you and I, we are in that place of Joppa. We're in that place that we have the beautiful message of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the brightness of the Word of God. The Word of God says in Psalms 119, the entrance of God's Word gives light. Amen. That's what we want to do. All right. Verse 33, Cornelius said, immediately, therefore, I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. He said, Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Now, can you imagine? Here they are. Because Cornelius is willing to pray. He's willing to give of himself, and his heart's hungry for the Lord. The Lord says, if you want a connection with me, I'm going to give you a connection. But he said, then I'm not going to just give you a connection with me. I'm going to give you a connection with somebody else. Because, see, thank God, God's in heaven, but God's in my heart. God's in heaven, but He's in your heart. But we need to, see, Jesus said that, He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. All right? Well, Jesus said, the works that I do, greater works shall you do. So when you and I are in the will and the work and the way of the Lord, I see the Lord through you like I can't see through anybody else. So you understand what I'm saying? So each one of us were in that place where we're bringing a different revelation, a deeper revelation, an understanding, that connection. So that connection with God and the connection with one another brings a clear understanding of who Jesus is and what he wants to do in and through our lives. Amen? All right, now, let's see what happens with this connection. Drop down to verse 44. And while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on some of them. How come everybody wants to pick and choose who gets blessed or doesn't get blessed today? God's not that way. God didn't leave anybody out, does he? God can bless anybody and everybody. God can save. Come on, God can heal. God can deliver. God is our victory. So, and while Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them which heard the word. So it's not that God's not willing. It's whether I'm willing. So I make a connection with God, and then I make a connection to hear God through my brother or my sister. See, that's why we have trouble within the body of Christ. Well, God didn't tell me that. Did he or did he not? Is he talking to you? Is your brother or sister talking to you, and they're talking to you by the Spirit of God? See, you and I, the Holy Spirit, when he speaks to us through somebody else, it bears witness in our spirit. Because he's done what? He's done spoke to you, but you need to recognize that voice then through somebody else, because you got a connection with God, but then we got a connection one with another. Because sometimes God tells me stuff, and then I wonder about it, I question it, and I lay it by the wayside. And then all of a sudden, maybe a little five-year-old granddaughter or grandson come up, and they'll say a word, and all of a sudden, you realize that's not just a little child talking. The Holy Ghost is talking through them. Amen? And it bears witness in here, and you go, okay. What I wouldn't understand and what I wouldn't get in the full revelation of, what I wouldn't fully hearing, I hear it now. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to be within the whole body of Christ. You know, we learn to trust one another because we recognize and realize that you and I are each one led by the Holy Spirit. Each one of us, we're in the place where the love of God is being shed abroad in our heart. Romans 5:5. And because we have that love of God, that love never fails. Amen? And so we're being built together. So we need to be like this. So can you imagine here this connection? All of them, they're saying, listen, I'm going to hear Peter. See, the Jewish people at this time, they were very what? Very prideful, and they were very standoffish. They were very separated. And so God was bringing this together. That's what Ephesians 2 is about, a building one new man, Jew and Gentile together. But the Gentiles can be the same way. They can say, well, I'm not going to listen to a Jew. No, God said, no, you're not listening to a Jew, or you're not hearing because you're a Gentile. You're making a connection with me, and I'm the God of all people. Amen? All right. Verse 45. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles, plural, also was poured out the gift of the Holy Ghost. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, verse 47, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And then he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now think about that. Wow! There's a connection here. There's a connection with God, and then that connection brings two group of people who are completely separated, brings them together. See, Peter, he's in a place where he's afraid to be here. Right, Brother Larry? Because he knows that when he gets back to Jerusalem, the Bible says that he practiced over and over in his mind what he was going to say when he got back, because he was in a place where he knew that he was going to be pushing hard against tradition. How many in here this morning has been pushing hard against tradition? Come on, man's tradition. You know what the Bible says? Out of the mouth of Jesus, in Mark chapter 7, Matthew chapter 15, Jesus said the traditions of men make void the word of God. Well, you and I, we say no to traditions. Amen. In Jesus' name, we want the word of God. We want Jesus. And so I want you and I to see this great connection here. God put it here, and Peter stays and abides in Cornelius' house. Come on, hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there's a lot of people says that I can't associate with them. I'm not into their level or their part. That's not true. Jesus Christ is our common denominator. Jesus Christ puts us all together. You and I, we are all children of God. Amen. And we've got to go out there with this message that God is the God that puts people together, and He puts them on the same level. And that level is the solid rock of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, so see this great connection here. Now, drop up and look at, jump up to verse 42, and let's see what Peter said before this. He said in verse 42, talking about God, and the Lord God, He commanded us to preach. Now, we're going to get to that in a moment, but I want you to remember that. See, all of this is happening. This unity is happening because you and I were in a place of prayer. We're in the place of thanksgiving, and we're in the prayer place of preaching. What if Peter said, I don't want to go? Where would we be at today? See, you and I have got to be in this place, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. I just want you to hold that in your heart. We're in chapter 10. Turn back to chapter 2. And let's see this connection just a little bit more. On the day of Pentecost, you know, we know the story. They're all in one place in one accord. But I want you to look after this great work of the Lord where 3,000 people were saved. For sake of time, just drop down to verse 46. Acts 2 and 46. We're talking about the connection with God and then the connection with one another. Acts 2:46, and they continuing whenever they wanted to. You mean I need to be in the place of breaking bread and fellowship with the Lord and with one another daily? Well, I'm pretty busy. I don't know. Ain't you pretty busy? What's most important in our lives? And they continuing daily with one accord. Hallelujah. You need to tell the devil this morning in the name of Jesus, that thing that he's showing you that divides you from somebody, that it's not bigger than the Lord Jesus Christ. They can be separated from you if they want to, but you don't have to be separated from them. Amen. In Jesus' name. They can do whatever they want to, but your heart can be free and light. You can have the love going and flowing in your life and the peace in your mind. And you can say and do whatever you want to, but I'm at rest. I'm at rest. Amen. Because you're what? You're continuing. Come on. You're in this place. And continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread. It's all about Jesus. Come on. We have to see who He is and what He is. And breaking bread from house to house to eat with their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now, what do they do? Verse 47. Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily, such as should be saved. See, when we're in this place of prayer, Paul says, continue in prayer, persevere in prayer. We make this connection with God. And when we make this connection with God, we make this connection one with another. And if we make a connection one with another, you minister to somebody and they come into the body of Christ. I minister to somebody and they come into the body of Christ. Not everybody's going to listen to you. Not everybody's going to listen to me. But they're going to listen to different parts of the body. And so can you imagine here, they're in unity and they're coming together every day in the name of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you got to go to church every day, but you and I, we need to connect one with another. I may not talk to you or see you, but I connect with you in the Spirit. You connect with me in the Spirit. Amen. We pray for one another. And as we pray for one another, we have this connection with God. And all of a sudden, if you're struggling or if I'm struggling, come on, we're in that place where we pray. And that connection is there. Or if we're having a kind of urge to minister to somebody. And all of a sudden we come in agreement with one another and we pray for that person. Amen. And that connection, that causes the church, the body of Christ, the family of God to be added to. That's what we want, right? Beyond anything. So in other words, we need to see how important this is. So when Paul is talking about continuing in prayer, it's not a drudgery. It's a delight. Come on. Amen. It's a delight because it brings the understanding in this communication with God the Father of what His will would be in your life and my life. Okay, let's go back to, hold your place here in Acts, and let's go back to Colossians. Let's reread verses 2 and 3. And let's see something here in Colossians. He said, continue in prayer, persevere in prayer, and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Well, let's cover this first. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So I'm in the place of prayer. You're in the place of prayer. But because we're in prayer, you know, that's what Jesus said in Mark 13 and Matthew 24. You and I, we stay awake. We watch because we're in a place of prayer. So he said, watch with thanksgiving. And as I was reading that, I was thinking back. Yeah, think back, you know, how excited a child gets the night before their birthday. You know, or the night before Christmas, or maybe the night before they're going to do something special, something out of the ordinary. You know, what do? That's all they're talking about, and they can't go to sleep because they're anticipating what's coming. That's what Paul is saying here. Because you and I are continuing in prayer, we have a connection with God, we have a connection one with another. That you and I, we are to watch with thanksgiving. Come on, we've got a lot to be thankful for. I'm not going to hell. You're not going to hell. The lake of fire has no part of our future. Amen? We're going to a place where the Bible says that God's going to wipe away every tear. That means everything that has ever hurt or harmed me, hurt or harmed you, God's going to wipe it away, and it won't even be a part of our memory bank. Amen? It's going to be a place where we're going to have the water of life. The Lamb is going to be the light. We're going to partake of those that fruit for the healing of all the nations. It's going to be an amazing time working our way to the eternity, through the millennial reign of Christ and all those things. We've got so much to look forward to. But he said, watch with thanksgiving. So I was thinking about that. Watch with thanksgiving. So the more that I'm focusing on the positive, the more I'm going to be seeing God in everyday life instead of the devil. The devil wants you and I to see him. He wants to be magnified. He wants to be lifted up. He wants us to think, well, you know, the devil wins in this area a lot of times. So does he? The Bible says that Jesus is the victor. So if Jesus is the victor, then that's a lie. So we can't even give place to that. We can't even think on that. We got to think on the good things. Amen. So he said, watch. Watch with thanksgiving. So let's go back to chapter 2 in this book of Colossians. And let's remind ourselves what we read in a few weeks ago when we were ministering out of this second chapter. Drop down in verses 6 and 7 and look why you can be thankful, what you need to be awakened by, what you need to be anticipating. Colossians 2 and 6, it says, As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk, so live in him. Now, I want you to think about that just for a second. You and I, we are all alike. We were all sinners. We were all lost and all done. We had no hope. But because the Holy Spirit knocked on our heart's door and drawed us and we accepted Jesus Christ into our life, now we have life forevermore. So I can watch into thanksgiving. I need to be seeing where Jesus is working life in my life, not where the devil's trying to work death. Amen? The Bible tells us in Hebrews 2:14 that Satan is death. He is death. And so I don't want anything to do with that. Do you? So I need to watch with thanksgiving. I need to see that Jesus is working life in every area of my life. And so the more I'm cognizant of that, the more that I'm thankful of that, the more that'll be revealed in my life. Now look what he says in verse 7. Because we've received Jesus, he said that you and I are rooted. We're rooted. Jesus is the vine. I'm the branch. You're the branch. And that means everything that God has for us comes through Jesus. So I can be so thankful that Jesus, when he walked this earth, he showed us the will of the Father. He showed us the mind of God. And so everything that Jesus brought in the Gospels to the people, that's available to you and I today. I need to watch with thanksgiving. In other words, if I don't have what the Bible says, I need to get my focus on and watch what Jesus wants to bring in my life. He said I would be rooted in him. In other words, it would come from him. I don't have to look to man. I don't have to look to self. I don't have to look to the government. I look to Jesus. Amen. You look to Jesus. He said, rooted and built up in him. So everything flows from Jesus. And as it starts flowing into my life, then I start growing. I'm being built upon the solid rock. Jesus said, I'll build my church. You're the church. But you got to be rooted in him. In other words, you got to be feeding from him. So I'm awake with thanksgiving. I'm staying. The word means to be vigilant. So I need to be in that place where I see that anything's trying to take my thanksgiving away, it's a work of darkness. It's not a work of the light. It's a work of the darkness. And light overcomes darkness. Amen. So I'm in that place. So I change my attitude. I change my focus. And I ask the Lord to help me. And all of a sudden, then the Holy Spirit comes in my life. He comes in your life. He emboldens us. He empowers us. He gives us words to say that are the seed that changes the moment into the very promise that God has for us. Amen. He said, rooted and built up in him, established. In other words, everything about your life is by faith, established in the faith as you've been taught. Notice what he said, abounding therewith with thanksgiving. So Paul said that you and I are to continue in prayer and we're to be in that place where we're thankful. So I have this connection with God. I have this connection one with another. But then I'm in that place where I don't let this world rock me to sleep. Right now, we're seeing a whole generation rocked to sleep. The Bible tells us that we're in the days of the great falling away. Amen. And so you and I have got to be so focused. We've got to be so thankful. So in other words, no matter what it looks like or feels like, you're going through a trial. Well, the devil wants you and I to concentrate on the trial. Instead, let's concentrate on what Jesus has promised us. Lord, I thank you that you've promised me the victory. It doesn't feel victorious right now. It doesn't look victorious right now. But you've promised me. You can't lie. Amen. Or maybe whatever it is that you're dealing with, there's some struggles at home. There's some division within the house, whatever it might be, all of those things. Don't abound with sarcasm. Don't abound with negativity. Don't abound with all of the things that the enemy will put in and through your life, but abound with thanksgiving. Lord, I thank you that you're going to make this the way it's supposed to be. Come on, I have to hold on. You have to hold on. But when we hold on, when we're persevering, when we're trusting in him, all of a sudden, it changes everything. Amen? So rooted and grounded, established. That's what God wants you. That's why you can be thankful. Because you're not, nothing of this world is what you have to depend on. Though God uses this world for you, your source is completely your relationship with God the Father through Jesus by the Spirit. Amen? Isn't that exciting? Okay. So let's go back, chapter 4. Let's look here. He said, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. In other words, see everything with that thankful attitude. Verse 3, he said, with all praying for us that God would open unto us a door. This door, Jesus is your door. He is my door. He is the open door. And he wants to have us to see that we've got a door of utterance. This word utterance is logos. It's simply you and I, we can take the written word and we can speak it into our own life. We can speak it into each other's life. And that word, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word. That word is what's going to bring faith and change people's lives. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak. There's your preaching part. To speak the mystery of Christ, for which also I am in bonds. Verse 4, that I may make it manifest as I ought. God wants you and I to know that when we're in the place of prayer, we're connected with him, we're connected one with the other, we're in the place where we're watching and we're seeing with thanksgiving, that we're going to be able to preach to people. Because that's what he said. I want you to pray that I have a door, an open door of utterance. That's taking this truth. That's taking the relationship. See, your life is a witness. Your life is a testimony. And your life that is a witness and is a testimony is more powerful than anything else. Because it's real to you. And when you share it with me, it becomes real to me. Amen. And it shows me a different level of how the Lord Jesus Christ can work in our lives and how he wants to work and how he can work and all of these things. But go back. We were there in just a moment ago. Go back to Acts chapter 10 and I want you to see something. See, reason why Cornelius got ministered to was because of this attitude here that Paul said, I want to do and be everything that God would have me to do and be. Remember, we started to read it a while ago and I quit. Acts 10:42, it says, and talking about what God commanded him to do. And God commanded us to preach. There's that open door of utterance unto the people. See, if we're not careful, we think that a preacher is somebody who stands behind the pulpit. But this word preach, it means to bring good news. You're anointed to bring good news. You know, sometimes you see somebody coming and you say, Lord, help me. Because usually they don't bring good news. You know, and what we need to do is pray for them and help them to be able to show that they're to be a vessel unto honor. And that they're to bring good news, not bad news. But sometimes people get in a spirit of negativity and all those things. But you and I, we've been anointed to bring good news. And he said, he commanded us to preach unto the people. Unto the people. See, you're going to have more success at Walmart, on the job, at the gas station, at the library, wherever you're at, you're going to have more success there than you'll ever have in a church house. Because more than likely, everybody in the church house is going to be saved. We're going to be a few times when the Holy Spirit will draw people in, but most of the time, in this day and age, it isn't like it used to be. We're living in times that we've never saw before. We're living in situations and circumstances where the message doesn't change, but we've got to change our application of the message. And so Jesus, as he sent the disciples out two by two, he's wanting to send you and I out. And we need to know we can preach to the people. But what we do is we have this prayer life. We have this connection with God, with one another. We're watching with thanksgiving. In other words, all of a sudden you've been praying for so long for a certain person. Because you have this connection and because you're awake, you're watching with thanksgiving. All of a sudden you feel a freedom in your spirit for somebody that you never felt before. Well, that come because what? An open door of utterance. Now you may literally get to do that to them in person, but you may do that in the Spirit. However it is, we don't care how God does it as long as it's done. Amen. But I've got to see that God wants to use me. God, he has to use a man, a woman, come on, a human. The message, the gospel message goes through us. And God set it up that way. And so when you read this, what it said, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that is which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead. You and I, we've got to see that. We've got to tell people, listen, life on this earth is but for a short period of time. And then the judgment. And so God's wanting you to be a part of his family. Yeah, we don't have to tell them about their sin. They know their sin. I knew my sin when somebody would come and would tell me this and that. I knew my sin. I need to know the answer to my sin. Amen. I need to know the solution. So the message is the gospel. The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ forgives sin, that he delivers us from sin. Amen. And so here Paul is talking about, he's saying for you and I to be the church, the epistle, to be the becoming the conqueror that he wants us to be. We've got to have this prayer life. We've got to stay awake with thanksgiving. And then we've got to be willing to speak what God tells us. See, you know why so many times that you lose what God tells you? You know how you keep from losing what God tells you? You share it. Because if you don't share, there's been things God gave to me, and I let my weakness say, well, I'm going to wait and I'm going to lay that on the shelf, and later on I'll bring it out. And guess what? Somewhere along the way, I lost it. Now, I'm not saying you're supposed to just talk off the top of your head, but what I am saying is when you know the Spirit of God brings a revelation to you, you need to put it to practice. You need to put it to use, and you need to sow it into somebody else's life. Because when you do that, when I do that, guess what? It's ours. It cannot be taken away from us. Because, you know, that's what Jesus warned us about in Mark chapter 4, about the fowls of the air. They come to steal the word out of the heart. But he can't steal the word if the word is in practice. Amen? Okay, so let's go to, in closing, go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want you to just to see yourself in these verses of Scripture, because this is what the Apostle Paul was trying to lay forth there to the church at Colossae, to us this morning. Let's start reading in verse 17. You know these verses very well. We've ministered on them many times. But 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, any person be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things, that archaos, that's the original formation. That's the man of sin. The old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. I've got to see that I'm a new creature. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen? That's who we are. And so the limitations of the old man, they no longer pertain to me. They no longer pertain to you. Don't let the old man tell you what you can do or can't do. Because you can do all things through Christ. He's your source of strength. Verse 18, he said, and all things are of God. That's prodigy. In other words, because I'm a new creature in Christ, you're a new creature in Christ, all things in my life are of God. That means he has put it in your life. He will support it. He will supply it. And he will strengthen you to bring it out. Amen. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself. How did he do it? By Jesus Christ. And he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So every born again believer, every child of God has a ministry. And that ministry, it means to be a waiter. It's like you go in a restaurant and you sit down and here comes somebody to serve you. This is what the word means from the Greek. It means to be an attendant. In other words, that waiter, they attend to what you want, what you need. You and I, in this gospel message, in this ministry of reconciliation, you and I need to be in that place, in that position where we represent Jesus and we bring what that person needs. What do they need? They need Jesus. They need the truth. They need love. They need forgiveness. They need acceptance. You remember what it felt like when God accepted you? Oh, when God accepted me. Oh, that changed everything about my life, didn't it? You, because, you know, everybody wants to be accepted. And God said, I'll accept you right where you're at, but I won't leave you there. Amen? So the ministry of reconciliation, the reconciliation means exchange. You and I, we've got to tell people, God will take your sin and he'll exchange it and give you his righteousness. He'll take death that's working in your life and he'll give you the life of Jesus that is not for a moment, but for eternity. Amen. The ministry of reconciliation. He'll take your hopelessness and he'll give you a hope. He'll take your faithlessness and he'll give you faith that can cause you to move mountains. All of these things. This is what the ministry of reconciliation is about. It's about taking the bad out, but replacing it with the good, taking the lie out and putting the truth in it. That's your role. That's my role. It's our opportunity. It's our possibility. It's our responsibility. Amen? So notice what he said. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word, logos, a door of utterance. What did Paul pray? What did Paul say? He said, let a door of utterance, a word, would be given to me. See, you don't have to sit there and think over and over. Can I just be honest with you? I used to sit and I'd say, okay, God, if you want me to do this, okay. Okay, I'm going to say this, 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 and this. Is that right? You help me. I wanted to have the whole conversation planned out. What did he say? He said a word of utterance. See, and if we try to depend upon ourselves about how we're going to witness, how we're going to testify, how we're going to reach somebody, we'll have this thing 180 degrees away from where it needs to be. But God will give us the one word. That one word is the key that will open their heart. And when their heart falls open, Jesus comes in. So there's no pressure on you. Don't think about what you've got to do or what you think you have to know. Don't let the devil say, tell you, well, you don't know the scriptures. Yeah, you do. You're born again. The Holy Spirit's your source. You don't have to do like anybody else. You don't have to quote like anybody else. You just have to do what God would have you to do. Give that one word. So you got to tell the devil and walk around like you know it, and like, because you do know it. Hey, I've got the door. That door is Jesus. It's open. And he's given me an utterance. He's given me that word of reconciliation. You need to know that. I get around people that I know that is separated from me. I would just avoid them. Don and I went through several years of trying to figure out how to bring some family situations together. And nothing we did ever worked. But if you're in that place, then where you just trust the Lord to give you the one word, that one word can bring everything together where everything else was being pushed apart. That's yours this morning. Amen. He said he gave it to you. Are you a new creature? Are you born again this morning? Then this is yours. Now notice what he said. To wit, that God was in Christ. So if Christ is in you, so that means God's in you, the Holy Spirit's in you, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now, look at verse 20, right now, mark it down in your Bible, highlight it in your Bible app, not tomorrow, not someday, not if you get sanctified, not if you get stronger, right at this moment that you're a new creature in Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. Right now. If you got an ambassador overseas from our nation, you can go. Okay, think about this. This is sad in one way, but it proves the point in the other. If you go to Haiti, Haiti's the poorest nation on the planet. I mean, absolute poverty. It's horrible. But you walk off the street in Haiti. There's filth. There's hunger. There's hopelessness everywhere. And you walk through the door of our United States Embassy. The moment you walk through that door, it's like you just stepped in America. Because when you walk through that door, if you're an American citizen, all the laws and the rights, all the promise and the provision from America is right there. If you want a Coke, there's a Coke. If you want a hamburger, everything is there. I mean, they've got everything there. But right outside those doors, right outside those gates is poverty. Understand? You and I, we're an ambassador for heaven. Through Jesus, there's a provision and promise for everything. So right now, I'm an ambassador. I'm to bring, when I see something wrong in somebody's life, I need that word of reconciliation to preach it to them. Simply open my mouth and talk. Not a 3-point sermon. Now we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did we beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ did, be you reconciled to God. That's what we want. Now notice this. Here's the message. Here's what we need to hold in our heart. For he hath made him, God the Father, made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's our message to tell everybody, hey, for all is sin. I was a sinner. You may be a sinner, but you don't have to be a sinner. You can be a saint. See, after you get born again, you're not a sinner anymore. Say, I'm not a sinner. No, no more. Don't let the devil, don't ever sing that song. No, I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I am a saint. Amen. Because the Bible says, I've been sanctified. I've been set aside. I am not what I once was. I am what God has made me through His Son Jesus. Amen. So the message is to tell people, hey, yes, sin is there. It's real. It's true. But let me tell you about an avenue. Let me tell you about the answer. Let me tell you about the solution for sin. Amen. So Paul's telling the church of Colossae, he's telling us this morning. He said, have that prayer life. You'll have a connection with God. You'll have a connection one with each other. You'll be awakened spiritually and then soulishly and then even fleshly to the truth in your whole being, spirit, soul, and body. You'll be thankful because you're going to be seeing the truth instead of seeing the lie. Amen. And then if you're in that place, your life is a ministry. Your life is preaching. Just living. You're living a life that ministers Jesus. Amen. Okay, I want to close with this illustration. I want you to think about this. Yeah, there was a famous violinist, Franz Kressler, I believe is how you, I'm not sure how to pronounce his name, but I believe that's right. But he died in 1962. But he was an amazing violinist. Everywhere he went, he drew great crowds. And in his time, he made a fortune because people wanted to hear him play the violin. But he was a very giving man, and so he didn't heap riches to himself. He was a Christian. He distributed his funds, and so he never did amass a lot of wealth, even though he made a lot of money. But one day he heard about this violin that was for sale, and this was supposed to be the most prestigious violin of all. And so he went to where it was for sale, and he looked at it, and he said, "Okay, I'm going to raise the money, and I'll be back, and I'll buy this violin," because he was imagining what he could do with it. Stay with me. We're going to put a spiritual connotation on this. So he went and he tried to raise the money. He couldn't raise the money for a while. And then when he went back to purchase the violin, it hadn't been sold. And so he said, "Who bought it?" And the store owner told him, and he made contact with the new owner of the violin, and he made an appointment with him to meet him in his house. And he went there and he said, "Listen," he said, "I've raised the money," and he said, I want to buy this violin from you." And that man said, "No," said, "this has become my most prized possession." Said, I've built a special cabinet for it, and I'm going to have it where everybody can see it 24/7, just sitting in that cabinet." And he said, "You wouldn't sell it?" And he said, "No, I wouldn't sell it." So he kind of got despondent. He dropped his head, and he said, "Okay, thank you." And he turned to walk out. And about that time, the Holy Spirit quickened him. And he said, "Before I go, can I just play that violin one time?" And the man said, "Sure." So they went and they brought him that violin, and he played that violin with all the anointing and the gifting that God had gave him. And this man that had purchased this violin, he was moved to tears. And he said, "Sir, the violin's yours." He said, "I can't put it in a cabinet and let it sit there where nobody can hear it." He said, "You take this violin and let the whole world hear it." Understand what I'm talking about this morning? We can't stay inside these four walls. We're not saved to go to church. Come, we've got a message. You've got the most beautiful message of all, and you've got the gifting and the anointing, the call of God. There is a door of utterance for you. You have the word of reconciliation. And it's such a beautiful message. It's a message of victory, deliverance. Let's take what God's gave us. Let that sweet smelling savor of the sacrifice of Jesus, let it be smelt throughout all of our lives. Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for this wonderful group of people. I thank you for blessing us, letting us be built together within the body of Christ. I thank you for letting us live in this part of the dispensation of time, the dispensation of grace. Lord, let every person here, starting right here with me, help us be encouraged. Help us to be corrected if we need to be. Help us to be emboldened if we need be. Help us just to be loosed from anything that would hinder, that would hide this great grace message, this message, the ministry, the attendance of reconciliation, of exchange. Lord, show us how to stay in this place of prayer, how to help us to see with thanksgiving, and help us to be in that place where we just open our mouth wide and let you preach and teach through us. We'll be quick to praise you for it. Let your blessing come on every person. Let us yield to you like never before. Let truth and understanding just let it prevail in our lives. We ask these things in Jesus' name.